Chapter 21, entitled The Gopis Glorify Krishna's Flute. And I was assigned verse 10, but yesterday we only heard up to 7. So I'm going to read 8 and 9, and then we'll do 10 together. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So actually we could read this together if you'd like to join while I chant. It's kind of a long verses, so let's see. Chuta pravala brahak sambhakotpalacha mala nupritta paridana vichitra vesho madhye vireja turalam pashupala koshtyam range yatana tavaro kvachakaya mano. Translation is dressing in a charming variety of garments upon which their garlands rest, and decorating themselves with peacock feathers, lotuses, lilies, newly grown mango sprouts, and clusters of flower buds. Krishna and Balaram shine forth magnificently among the assembly of cowherd boys. They look just like the best of dancers, appearing on a dramatic stage, and sometimes they sing. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The gopis continue singing their ecstatic song as they remember the pastimes of Lord Krishna. The gopis wanted to go to the forest where Krishna was performing his pastimes, and while remaining concealed, peer through the leaves of the creepers and see the wonder of Krishna and Balaram dancing and singing with their boyfriends. This was their desire, but because they could not go, they sang this song in ecstatic love. Text number 9. Gopya kim acharayam kushalam smavenur dama dara dara sudam api gopikanam bhunkte svayam yar avashishta vasam vrittinyo Rishya tvacho shumumuchu starumho yatarya. Translation, my dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body. Purport. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila 16, chapter 16, verse 140. In other words, Srila Prabhupada actually gave this translation in his books. In the guise of releasing flowing sap, the bamboo trees are actually crying tears of ecstasy upon seeing their child become an exalted devotee flute of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Sanatana Goswami gives an alternative explanation. The trees are crying because they are unhappy at not being able to play with Krishna themselves. One may object that the trees in Vrindavan should not lament for that which is impossible for them to obtain, just as a beggar certainly doesn't lament because he is forbidden to meet the king. But the trees are actually just like intelligent persons who suffer when they cannot obtain the goal of life. Thus, the trees are crying because they cannot get the nectar of Krishna's lips. And so now we're going to chant text 10. And we're going to do this alternatively. Vrindavana Shakhi Bhuvo Vitano Tikirtim. Please chant. Ya Devaki Sutta Padam Bhuja Labdha Lakshmi. Govinda Vena Manumata Mayura Nityam. Prekshadri Sanvavaratanya Samasta Sattvam. Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhuvo Vitano Tikirtim. Ya Devaki Sutta Padam Bhuja Labdha Lakshmi. Govinda Vena Manumata Mayura Nityam. Prekshadri Sanvavaratanya Samasta Sattvam. Please chant. Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhuvo Vitano Tikirtim. Ya Devaki Sutta Padam Bhuja Labdha Lakshmi. Govinda Vena Manumata Mayura Nityam. Preksha Jisanva Bharatanya Samasta Sattvam.
Vrindavanam Sakhi Bhuvo Vitano Tikirtim.
Vrindavanam, Vrindavan, Sakhi, O friend, Bhuva, of the earth, Vitanoti, spreads, Kirtim, the glories, yet, because Devaki Sutta, of the son of Devaki, Pada Ambuja, from the lotus feet, Lavda, received, Lakshmi, the treasure, Govinda Venam, the flute of Govinda, Anu, upon hearing, Mata, maddened, Mayura, of the peacocks, Nityam, in which there is dancing, Prakshya, seeing, Ajisanu, upon the peaks of the hills, Avarata, stunned, Anya, other, Samasta, all, Sattvam, creatures. Translation. O friend, Vrindavan is spreading the glory of the earth, having obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Devaki. The peacocks dance madly when they hear Govinda's flute, and when other creatures see them from the hilltops, they all become stunned. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that because activities such as those described in this verse do not occur in any other world, the earth is unique. In fact, the earth's glories are being spread by wonderful Vrindavan because it is the place of Krishna's pastimes. The name Devaki also refers to Mother Jasoda, as stated in the Brihat Vishnu Purana. Dvainani nanda baryaya jasoda devaki ticha ata sankyam abhutasya devakya sharijaya. The wife of Nanda had two names, Jasoda, and also Devaki. Therefore, it was natural that she, the wife of Nanda, develop friendship with Devaki, the wife of Shorty, Vasudev. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains Krishna Leela as follows. Quote, in Vrindavan, the peacocks request Krishna, Govinda, please make us dance. Thus, Krishna plays his flute, and they surround him in a circle and dance in time with the rhythm of his melody. And while standing in the midst of their dancing, he also sings and dances. Then those peacocks, who are fully satisfied with his musical performance, out of gratitude, offer for his pleasure their own divine feathers. In the usual manner of musical performers, Krishna gladly accepts these presentations and places a feather upon the turban atop his head. Gentle animals such as deer and doves greatly relish the transcendental entertainment presented by Krishna. And to get a good view, they flock to the peaks of hills. Then, as they watch the breathtaking program, they become stunned in ecstasy. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments that because in Vrindavan, Krishna goes barefoot and can thus directly mark the earth with the symbols of his lotus feet, that transcendental land is even more glorious than Vaikuntha, where Vishnu wears slippers. So the translations of the three verses again. Dressed in a charming variety of garments upon which their garlands rest, and decorating themselves with peacock feathers, lotuses, lilies, newly grown mango sprouts, and clusters of flower buds, Krishna and Balaram shine forth magnificently among the assembly of cowherd boys. They look just like the best of dancers appearing on a dramatic stage. and sometimes they sing. My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Krishna's lips independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant? The forefathers of the flute, the bamboo trees, shed tears of pleasure. His mother, the river on whose bank the bamboo was born, feels jubilation, and therefore her blooming lotus flowers are standing like hair on her body. O friend, Vrindavan is spreading the glories of the earth, having obtained the treasure of the lotus feet of Krishna, the son of Devaki. The peacocks dance madly when they hear Govinda's flute, and when other creatures see them from the hilltops, they all become stunned. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Stai Vatsalaya Shamiti Bhakti Vedanta Stani Jaya Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nivashesha Sanivali Vasajati Stani. So we're continuing to hear the gopis glorifying Lord Krishna, glorifying Vrindavan. And since I'm catching up these two verses, I can say that when Srila Prabhupada translated this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the Krishna book, when he summarized it in his summary study, what is so wonderful about Prabhupada's summary study is that he gives us the essence of the verses, but he also puts it in perspective. In other words, he gives us some, I guess you call it preaching. And so when he was talking about, he probably quotes these verses in the Krishna book, and probably most of us are familiar with this lamentation that the gopis have about Krishna's flute, how they're wanting the nectar of Krishna's flute to themselves, and they're wondering how this bamboo rod could get so much mercy. And at the end of this little section of this one gopi speaking, Prabhupada says, although the gopis were village coward women and girls, they had extensive Vedic knowledge. Such is the effect of Vedic civilization. People in general would learn the highest truths of the Vedas simply by hearing from authoritative sources. So these gopis are not ordinary village girls. And we know that they have been greatly qualified in past lives by doing so much service. And we also can follow their example and perfect our lives by following Srila Prabhupada's instruction. And if we're mature, pure devotees, we can go directly back to Godhead, but that's a very elevated position. Typically, what we get to do is go to the planet where Krishna's carrying on his pastimes and have a chance to associate with Krishna and get final training. And that's the position that Lord Ram's associates were filling, and the same thing with the residents of Vrindavan. They're very, very elevated souls who are, what do I know, but it seems that most of them are in that last life, getting that association with Krishna face-to-face, personally, and then from there they qualify to go back to Godhead. In these verses, I was looking up this expression, well, in the verse number 10, which I had focused on more when I was preparing, I looked up how many times Srila Prabhupada uses that phrase, stunned in ecstasy. And it comes up so many times that I was actually getting a little bewildered researching, because what do I know about being stunned in ecstasy? I mean, I've gone to many, many japa retreats, and one of the things that I got was that there's just so much nectar in the holy name, and I know that I'm clear that I'm not experiencing that now, but if I keep on chanting and attempt to chant from the heart and clearly and all the different methods of paying attention that we're taught in these japa retreats, and that, you know, it's available to us anytime we chant. But if we practice and actually can perfect this, then that nectar is there for us to experience. And you could call that nectar ecstasy. What was also interesting in these verses is that we're hearing that the birds and the animals and, you know, these particular residents of Vrindavan, not those in human bodies, that it's described how the animals are stunned in ecstasy. And again, it's like a goal that we can be going towards, that we can also have that experience of, you know, fully experiencing the nectar of Krishna's holy name fully, and someday, you know, see Krishna face to face. This is the promise that Srila Prabhupada has so many times said in his lectures and in his writings, and we can have full faith that Srila Prabhupada is not certainly not going to cheat us, that we can totally trust him. If he says that he's going to take us back to Godhead, we know that he will. One of the last things in this purport is that the appreciation that Vrindavan is covered with Krishna's lotus footprints. And since I feel very unqualified to talk about the 10th canto, I would like to focus on Krishna's footprints, because I attended a class some time ago that Nanda Devi Dasi taught about Krishna's footprints, and she made it into a game. So to some extent, I would like to ask all of you, if you remember, what are the auspicious markings on Krishna's lotus feet, so that if we're familiar with what they are, first of all, it's very nice to meditate on them. But at the same time, we live in New Ramanreti, so this is the sandy area where Krishna and Balaram play. So if we want to look for those lotus footprints, it would be good to know what we're looking for, right? So I'm going to see if you all can say what are the auspicious markings on Krishna's lotus feet. I'm going to make it a little harder, because I know you all know this. So we're just going to do first Krishna's right foot. Okay. What are the markings on Krishna's right foot? Who can say? Don't raise your hands. Okay, Braj Mohan. Fish. Yes, there is a fish. It does happen to be on Krishna's left foot, but you did good. That's okay. Okay, it's a fish. Should we let some other people guess? We can come back to you. Okay, Braj Mohan? Okay. Anybody else? What?
A bow.
Right, and actually, it's described as an unstrung bow. It's also on Krishna's left foot, but okay. Maybe a little too hard, right? Okay, we'll just do any foot, whatever. We're good. Okay, I see a hand behind the Vyasa.
The barley corn underneath Krishna's second toe.
Okay, excellent. Barley corn.
Is that bingo?
What was that? I didn't hear what you said.
It's like bingo.
It's like bingo?
You're knocking off.
I am. Oh, yeah. Madam Matisse.
Elephant goat.
Elephant goat, yes. That's right. Right foot. These are both right foot. Yeah.
Umbrella.
Yes, umbrella.
Session.
Conch shell, yes. Conch shell. is on the left foot, yes. Who else?
The line going up.
Right, the curving line, up curving line. Brother Johan? What?
Trident.
There's well, somebody named the elephant goat, which looks like a trident. You think that's what you must be thinking? The elephant goat? Yeah. Okay. Oh, maybe. Yeah, Radharani has a few symbols that Krishna doesn't have, and vice versa. Okay, there's quite a few more. There's 19 altogether. Yes, yes. There's how many? Four. And they're surrounding something. I'll give you a hint. The swastikas are surrounding.
A triangle.
Not a triangle. Something else. Not a star. It's got more sides.
Oh, the octagon.
Octagon, thank you. Octagon. Yeah. What else? Ekadasi.
A flag.
A flag, yes. An unfurled flag, it's described as. Tivakam? A club. I don't think so. Maybe Radharani.
Is it an umbrella?
Umbrella was already named.
Jambu fruit.
Yes, jambu fruit. In English, it's blackberry fruit. That's also surrounding the octagon. Okay, there's a few more.
Is there a hill? Or is that in Radharani?
Yeah, I think it's Radharani. That's a hill.
Lotus
flower, yes. Okay, we've got quite a few marked off here.
Chakra,
yes. We got almost all of them on Krishna's right foot. A crescent moon. Okay, half moon, yes. Okay, somebody earlier, I think it's Gandharvaka, is that Gandharvaka hiding back there? Yeah. You had said a triangle when I was looking for the octagon. So there is a triangle on Krishna's left foot. And that is surrounded by four of something.
Water.
Thank you. Somebody's been studying Krishna's lotus feet. Okay, there's only three left.
Thunderbolt,
thank you. Okay. And one, yeah, Gandharva?
The two circles, one circle inside another circle, yes. Representing sky.
Thank you. Two concentric circles and one left, and this is really an easy one. It's, okay, well, we may see this marking on the grounds right here in New Ramanreti. We might see markings of this on the ground. The cow print, yes. Okay. So each one of these, you did very well. Thank you. So each one of these markings we can meditate on, and there's different benedictions. Is there anyone that's someone's favorite that you'd like to hear? See, this little book that Nanda gives out when she gives her class, it's called Shishi Radhagovinda Meditations, Divine Forms and Lotus Feet. So, okay, Bhajwan, what's your favorite one? The sky, the two circles, okay. Let's see what it says about, if we meditate on the two circles, let's see what it says. This mark represents the sky And it shows that though Krishna's feet are everywhere, they're unattached, just like the sky. It also signifies that Krishna is within everything and within the circle of our hearts. Yet at the same time, Krishna is outside of everything and everyone, eternally enjoying the loving embraces of his devotees in Vraj. It indicates the rasa dance, wherein circles of beautiful gopis spin around Krishna, standing in the center playing the flute. It also signifies Shyam whirling like a firebrand around Radhika, standing in the middle of the rasa mandala, mesmerizing Shyam with her veena. Wow, that's a nice meditation. So, next time you chant japa, Braj Mohan, you can meditate on all those meanings. Anybody else have a favorite one? You'd like to know some more details? The shankha? The conch shell? Okay. Conch shell. The conch shell is a symbol of victory, proclaiming that those who take shelter of Radha Govinda's lotus feet are always saved from all distress and awarded with fearlessness. As the conch shell holds water for bathing the divine couple, their lotus feet contain divine amrita that extinguishes the blazing fire of material miseries of devotees. Right. Any other favorites?
Umbrella?
Okay, just let me find that. Let's see, umbrella. The umbrella on the feet of Radha Govinda proves that those who take shelter of their lotus feet are protected from the incessant rainfall of material miseries. On Radha's feet, the umbrella indicates that her lotus feet provide relief to her beloved from the scorching heat felt in her separation. It also refers to Krishna holding Govardhan. Thank you. It refers to Krishna holding Govardhan Hill like an umbrella to protect Vraj from the devastating rains of Indra. It also means that those who sit in the shade of their feet become exalted, just like great kings, who usually have umbrellas held over their heads. And we have experience of whenever Srila Prabhupada would arrive in a temple that we would hold umbrellas over his lotus feet, over his lotus head. Okay, I will read my favorite one, which is the upcurving line. This mark signifies that devotees who cling to the lotus feet of Radha Shyam, as if holding on to a lifeline, will be transported to the spiritual world. It indicates that the path to Radha Govinda is very direct, straight, and narrow, like a razor's edge. It also reveals that Radha Govinda's lotus feet can reach down to the lowest of fallen souls who take shelter of them and deliver them to the highest destination. So, yes, you want to hear about the Bardic horn? Just leave it there. It's not important. Thanks. Barley corn. The barley corn signifies that devotees receive all enjoyable opulence by serving the lotus feet of Radha Govinda. Once one finds shelter at their feet, then the devotee's journey through many, many births and deaths is cut very short, just like a grain of barley. As barley grains sustain life for living beings, similarly, the glorious lotus feet of Radha Shyam are the fullest nourishment for all souls. Okay. Any others that are?
The fish.
Okay, let me look. As a fish cannot exist without water, devotees cannot live a moment without the lotus feet of Radha Shyamasundara. On Radha's foot, it indicates she cannot live a moment without her beloved Shyam. The fickle mind resembles a fish, so one must diligently practice meditation to fix the lotus feet of Radha Govinda in his heart. The lotus feet of Radha Govinda can never live in a dry place. The heart must first become liquefied with loving mellows to attract the fish of their feet. The fish, Maraka, which is the insignia on Cupid's flag, on Krishna's foot, excites the Vraja gopis with desires for amorous affairs. It also indicates that Krishna has conquered Cupid, therefore showing Cupid's flag of surrender on the soles of his feet. It indicates that during Palaya, Krishna assumes the form of Matsya, the fish incarnation, to save his devotees. So I think I'm going to complete here, leave a couple of minutes for corrections, questions, discussion. Thank you. Madame Hampu, do we have a microphone?
Thank you, Maya, for a nice class. I was thinking about the stunned in ecstasy.
Yeah.
And,
That sounds right. I mean, we know the example of Daruka, who was driving Krishna's chariot, and he had to set aside his ecstasy in order to do his service, right? Because you can't, you know, couldn't function. Trivikram Prabhu? Oh, we'll get to you in a minute. That was a great opulence in those days to be able to hear and remember the way the gopis did. Okay, we have to go to Braj Mohan next. You had your hand up? I have a hard time hearing you because we don't have the microphone. So maybe your mom can say it louder.
Two circles.
You want to know?
Why two circles?
I don't know. Does anybody know? Yeah, that's true.
He said the sky isn't in the shape. It's like a poem. It's just a poetic way of presenting. You know what a poem is?
It's like, also you could say it's like, it's a symbol. It represents, it's not exactly what it looks like. Did you, Mukunda?
So, the circles, you mentioned that they represent the Ras Mandala. And Jiva Goswami Prabhupada mentioned that the Ras Mandala is two kinds. One that we're reading about now, which is called Sarigrasa. Eventually from these chapters, we'll get to Sarigrasa. In that Rasa-lila, there were many different types of people who took part. There's Nitya-siddha, gopis like Radhika Chandravani, like this. Then there are those who became perfect. They're called Sadhan-siddha, like the sages who were done at Aranya when Ramchandra Bhagavan came through. And also daughters of the demigods. All these people took part in that Sarvya Rasa-lila. But there's another Rasa-lila which is called Vasanti Rasa-lila. And Vasanti Rasa-lila, only Nitya-siddha gopis and only Radhika's party take part there at Govardhan. So the second one is mentioned in Gita Govinda Jayadeva Goswami. And when Ramananda Roy was talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he mentioned the superiority of Radhika. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you can't say because Radhika left this Sarvya Rasa-lila and Krishna went after her that she's superior. Because Krishna simply disappeared. He didn't, in front of all the other gopis, walk away. He disappeared. So then Ramananda Roy quoted to him from Gita Govinda that verse, Kamsayaki Samsara Vasana Varashimala. But in this Rasa-lila, with all even the topmost gopis, Krishna walked away right in front of them to chase Radhika. So he proved the supremacy of Radhika's love. So these two Rasa-mandalas are very, very famous in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. One, because we're practicing and we want to enter also that pastime, we would enter first into Sarvya Rasa-lila. As Sadhan, if we become perfect, we can enter there.
Okay, so Praj Mohan, you heard that explanation?
I didn't answer your question about this guy. Very intelligent question.
Okay, thank you all very much. All best, Prabhupada.